come on, everybody. It's that time. Our next guest is Antoinetta Vogels, and it's The Motivation Cure, the secret to being your best self. Antoinetta, welcome to the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. How are you today?
Hello, Ed. Thank you for having me. I'm wonderful.
Oh, good. Well, it's so great to have you here because this is, for many people, the key to success, to true understanding, and that is motivation. Motivation, it's at the root of every great thing I think that's ever happened in the history of mankind. Talk to me about the motivation cure. What do you mean by that?
Yes, well, I'm glad you already get the gist of it. In fact, it is a very important issue. My book, The Motivation Cure, is about getting a grip on your motivation to find out what you are really about, what is your ultimate desire, because that is what drives you to do what you do in daily life. Now, and so it's not a surprise that that colors your life and determines the quality of your life, right?
Well, do you mind if we use me as an example, and I'll give you my information, and you can tell me what works and what doesn't work? My motivation, I've been on the air for 40 years doing this show. I started as a 19-year-old kid. I'm a 60-year-old man, and I've had the same motivation for all four decades. And I want to tell it to you exactly the way it came to me, because people will laugh when I say this, but I'm completely sincere. I grew up in New York in the 60s, and I want to change the world. I want nothing less than actual change in the world, and in very concrete ways. All the issues that are on the front page today were on the front page of my youth. Poverty, war, racism, jobs, and the effectiveness of whether the government is helping us or hurting us. And sometimes I get very disappointed on the results of it, but then I say, well, there's your motivation to keep doing it. You got to keep plugging away. So what do you make of a grandiose motivation like that? As I say, some people will laugh because other people are like, well, my motivation is to get out of work at 5 o'clock and go get a beer at 5:30 and then go watch a movie and be asleep by 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I never had that kind of motivation. So go ahead. Tell what can we understand through my example?
Well, you know, that resonates so much with me, you wouldn't even believe it. Because ultimately, that is my motivation too. To write a book, to look into what motivates people and why we are always repeating history. In fact, that there is never a change. But, and I have discovered that it has a lot to do with whether you have a sense of self or whether you lack a sense of self, because your motivation is determined by whether you are a satisfied person or whether you have feel you have unfinished business with people, whether you have like a clear goal in your life or you don't know what you're about and you're looking for approval and acknowledgement. And that's so it seems to me that you're coming from a very healthy sense of self with a very clear goal, because if you do that for so long with so much enthusiasm, it's real. You do the thing because you want to do the thing, because you believe in it. But let me give you an example for an unhealthy motivation. Say, if you become a doctor and you do that because you feel like your dad would respect you more, and you need really your dad's approval because you're not so sure whether he actually really saw you ever, then you know, your motivation is not good, because you're now not interested in becoming a doctor, but you're interested in your dad's approval because you're dependent on that.
Oh, I hear you loud and clear, right? Because when I was in high school and then in college, I witnessed that left and right. That you could see the distant parent and the child trying to get the attention and then doing things that they think will now endear their parent to them because they're getting a vibe from their parent that they're not significant enough.
Yeah, yeah. And it's my dream to actually interest, like, even the school system for it, because parents are people too, and they are not always in the position to do the right thing for their child. Even they love them a lot, but they have so many problems themselves, one of which is not having a sense of themselves. And so if the school could step in on those moments, and if it becomes obvious that a child does not have a strong sense of self, then maybe they could help the child. And, you know, where I'm heading to, it's like these school shootings, for example. We are always looking at the victims, which is, of course, very understandable. But in a way, those children who do that are victims too, because they do that for their own motivation, maybe to draw attention or to show the world that they're great and independent. And if we could raise those kids and give them a healthy sense of self, then finally we'd have a tool to eliminate those happenings.
You know, I am on your terrific website, which is healthysenseofself.com, and you refer to this as a method that positively transforms. Would you elaborate on that for us?
Absolutely. You know, in my attempt to build a healthy sense of self for myself, I came across all kind of points that when I connected the dots, I had sort of created the sense of self method, which is a tool for people to enable them to be better equipped to deal with the life issues we all face. I mean, the bigger problems like failing marriages, war with kids, domestic violence, but also to get rid of those problems, not only to deal with them, but preferably even to avoid them. And there's also health issues, for example, like insomnia that I was a victim of myself, and anxiety, depression, or even worse, thoughts of suicide. They all might have to do with a lack of sense of self, and the person doesn't know what they're all about. And here comes the tricky part. If you don't know that, you need a sort of a virtual spine for your psyche. So you choose to get approval. If your parent doesn't really see you, then the best you can do is trying to get a smile. And instead of developing a sense of yourself being about yourself, you learn to be about the parent and how to get that smile, so at least you get a moment of acknowledgement, because it's that's the missing aspect, lack of acknowledgement.
That's what the sense of self
method is about.
Right. See, I can see that, what you're saying about the value of the smile, right there in the image that you have right with the video and the quiz. Your smile is tremendous. You have a smile that lights up a room. Your eyes are alive. Your smile is broad. It is friendly. It's accessible. But you know, as a smiler, and I'm a smiler also, I smile at strangers. Mm-hmm. I try to bring a good vibe. You know, if I'm standing online at the supermarket and I see a mom who's tense and the kids are tense and everybody's tense, I just try to get some eye contact and give them a good vibe. How powerful is the smile in terms of the one who gets used to giving it? We're doing something for ourselves as well. It's healthy for us to smile, right?
Yes, absolutely. But you commented on my smile, and you're not the first person who does that, so that's very interesting. But I tell you the truth, it wasn't always like that. I felt very down, and I didn't sleep for many, many years. So, I worked my way out of that predicament through becoming more sense of self-oriented. So I would say to restore my sense of self. And now I can choose to give a smile to a person who I think would benefit from it, or just for the mere joy of it. Whereas before, when I was dependent on approval, on validation, everything you give is for the reason of receiving something. So there's no real giving.
Right.
Can you see how that really changes everything?
It does. Now, you know, you've seen it. I don't know if you've ever been a New Yorker, but for many, many years, as I live in New York, have ridden the subway. And when you're on mass transportation, sometimes it gives you a chance to be with 30 people. And if you are with 30, 35, 40, maybe 50 people during the rush hour...
For some reason, I don't hear it anymore.
Oh, you're not hearing me right now?
This is really...
Oh, now I'm going to call you right back. I'm going to call you right
okay.
back. Oh, you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. I don't know what happened.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're back. If that drops out again, you just say so, and I'll call you right back if need be.
Okay.
So here we are. We're on mass transportation in New York City, often the subway, sometimes the bus, and you'll be around 50 or 60 people sometimes during the rush hour. And it will be so rare that you will see someone smiling, and you can feel that the subway car or the bus is heavy. You can feel the absence of joy. So tell me why, in your opinion, we have become somewhat sullen, somewhat, I don't want to go all the way and say sad, but you don't see nearly as much smiling as I saw when I was a kid back in the 50s and the 60s. What are we doing in society that's displacing our joy?
Being in New York, where I'm actually right now, so I take the train quite often, so I know exactly what you mean. And so that is really sad, because there, even people in good health, they're kind of looking really in front of them. And what my take on that is that everybody is so busy with their own thing, and there's a lot of dependency on the outcome of your process. So traveling is part of a necessity, and people just want to not be in the train in the first place because they want to get to the result of their actions. Because we always feel that if we only do this or that, or become so good in this or that, that our lives will change and that our parent or caregiver will see us and respect us. I think that could be a big part of it. What do you think?
I'm with you all the way. It is incredible how people feel they will find one thing that will be a panacea for everything. And we all know, as we get older and wiser, nothing could be further from the truth. I believe what we miss, and certainly the city and the urban environment reinforces this, is that we're not in this as a group. We just want to get our little thing done and run back in the house, shut that door, get those headphones on, get lost in a television or a movie thing, and feel we've escaped our reality, instead of being open and connected and reaching into and imbuing it with some kind of contribution, some kind of attention, all these things that you mentioned before. That's my take.
Yes, but the problem is, Ed, that it's really not a choice for many people. Because if you are tied into your own prison of dependency or perceived dependencies because you do not have that healthy sense of yourself, you have become dependent on the substitute for it. And so what is the substitute for a healthy sense of self? That is to feel good about yourself. You know, we should actually always feel good about ourselves, because we are the only thing we have, right? Our body, our mind, the way we are, is the only thing we actually have received to do life. Yet instead, we perceive that we need to be different, and that is very sad, even for those people involved, because there must have been a moment in their lives that they were getting the feeling, what I am is not good enough.
Right.
Or it's not supposed how my parent would like to see me.
You know,
and that's why it's so important that we develop this sense of ourselves, the way we are. I call that we have to restore our sense of self. Then we become independent from our achievements, from validation, and we can be interdependent. Like, we can help each other, but don't expect anything back. So we get a better society, right?
Yes, and that was back in, as I say, and this is the old phrase, in the old days, that's what they said true love was. True love was not needing anything back, just loving the idea of giving love.
Right, yes.
But we're way out of that now. Right, we're way out of that now, because every television commercial, every advertisement is reminding us, well, you need this. Well, you need that, and you don't have this yet, and you better hurry up and get that. And I think it's done a little brainwashing on us. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go right ahead.
No, it's true, but I also think it is sort of the result of a luxury problem, because we see on the movies, we see stars, we see musicians, they make it, they become great, and why not me? Why can't I do that? So there's a little bit of ego involved too. And in former days, people were more satisfied also because, you know, there were no other options. So you just were to have to be satisfied with the situation you were in, for better or for worse, by the way. But these days, everybody thinks, I can do that too. And it takes a whole lot of work and a very much of a focus. So that's also where there's a sort of a hurry in people, that they need to reach that goal, otherwise they just don't feel good about themselves.
Our guest on the Ed Till Show is Antoinette Vogels. The book is The Motivation Cure, The Secret to Being Your Best Self. And I want to ask, you've come up with a quiz, and I'm interested on how you crafted it and what the quiz will show you about yourself when you take it.
Yes, the quiz. That's made for people to do, so they can assess their own state of a sense of self. And it's actually pretty much based on self-fabricated questions. You know, I have not copied anything from psychological tests or anything, so it's purely based on what we have found out ourselves. And by doing it, you can find whether you have a healthy sense of self or a lack of sense of self, or maybe something in between. There are five stages. And when you take the quiz, which you can find at quiz.healthysenseofself.com, you will also be offered a free downloadable booklet called The Secret to Self-Confidence, in which you can read more about the healthy sense of self method and see if it appeals to you. And if it does, then you can enroll in our online course, where you can learn how to become your own motivation expert.
You know, I'm doing exactly that as we speak. I'm looking ahead to the course now, and I love this idea of getting connected to yourself. You have some steps on there. Were those hard to come up with, or did those come to you quickly?
No, they were pretty hard, because, as I said, I was a stubborn not sleeper. I had a huge sleeping problem, and so I had to find ways to help myself. And they came to me like in the nights that I didn't sleep, and I was just thinking and thinking, what's not working, where do I go astray? And that often had to do with, for example, being totally outcome-oriented. So not having a connection with your own body, with your own gray cells, to really think questions through that have been handed down to you by your parents, like criteria. And so those 12 steps are based on that. So they're very thought-through processes, and it takes a person, you know, quite a lot of time to think them all through, and you have to do that repeatedly until you get so acquainted with yourself that you know you exist and you don't need any approval.
You know, it's remarkable that we are so self-focused often, but yet we are so ill-acquainted with who we really are. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And self-knowledge, I call it, it's a tool against war, ultimately. If everybody would focus more inwardly and solve their own issues instead of denying them in the first place, and, you know, like, see yourself as a startup company, work it out. It's the best thing you can do, because it raises your quality of life tremendously, and not only your own, but also from the people around you.
You know, our time has gone so quickly. I have one final question, and then I'm going to really give the website and the book title a couple of good times so people can lock on to us. But you use a phrase on the site that I've heard many times, and I'm so glad you use it, and I get a chance to ask you about this phrase. What do we mean when we say to people, you have to get out of your own way? Learn to get out of your own way. It's so important. Please talk about that for a moment.
Okay. Well, being in your own way, that is like following blindly the automatic pilot that you have brought along with you since you were growing up. Because when you are a child and, you know, you have to deal with the circumstances you are being brought up in, not only that, but also with the fact of being alive. So you have two major things to deal with. But of course, you don't see the difference. And you take what your parents say as at face value. And you think they are always right. And if it doesn't go well enough, then it's your fault, not theirs. Isn't that what a child thinks?
Always.
Now,
right.
If
right.
you are... Yeah, and if you are in your own way, that means you're still... living those conditions that you have set for yourself at that time, but they're no longer serving you.
Antoinetta, you are so good at this, and the time has gone by so quickly. I'm playing a very old song from my childhood to exit out of our segment, because you are one of my favorite things that we're talking about right now. Listening to you, reading what you have accomplished here, and put your arms around, I'm playing the great John Coltrane, and he is playing that great song that was my favorite things. So you are, and this conversation was one. I thank you for being a part of it today. I want to direct people to get a hold of the book. And then, as you said earlier, they should take the quiz, and then they should see how the course can help them. Go to healthysenseofself.com. That's healthysenseofself.com. And the book is The Motivation Cure, The Secret to Being Your Best Self by Antoinetta Vogels. Antoinetta, thank you so much for the time today. I hope you'll come back on the show. I have so enjoyed this conversation, and congratulations for this topic, which fills a very big need in our contemporary society.
It's so sweet to hear those wonderful words. I too enjoyed the conversation so much. Thank you very much, Ed.
Bless you. All right, we're going to talk to you again real soon. Antoinetta Vogels on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, The Motivation Cure, The Secret to Being Your Best Self is truly one of my favorite things.